Kelly Sloan. For more news, we're on the web at usaradio.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Hey, welcome back. One and all, that's right. We're all in our places. Bright, shiny faces, another edition of Bucket Strategy Investing. Thanks for joining us, folks. Happy to have you here, of course, and we're happy to be with you once again. Joined by Professor Rick Plum, Certified Financial Planner. Rick, of course, is our Brain Trust Advisor. Now, today, we're going to start things off with a discussion on something that I think many people believe doesn't really apply to them, which is a mistake. And that has to do with creating what is really an effective estate plan. Now, we'll just do this for a couple of segments, but it's important stuff that I think you need to know, whether you have a lot of money or a little money. The question is, of course, what happens to your estate after you're gone? And do you even care? Now, you might really not care one way or the other, but your heirs could wind up with big problems if you don't have your, what they call your estate ducks in a row, right? Even if you don't have a ton of money, you may not have a whole lot of assets, but the assets that you've got, you want to be able to control them. So it's about taxes partially, but it's also about control. We're going to talk more about this, how to overcome these problems and more. That's coming up here in just a moment or two. So you have an opportunity right now to give us a call. You can ask your money questions of the Brain Trust. So here's what you do. Get to your phone, which I'm sure is within easy reaching distance, and you call this particular number, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. You can also email us right here in the studio. You do so at wealthed.com. You look for the Find Your Answer link there near the upper part of the page. You send us your question, and of course, we will take it from there. Professor Rick Plum here with us, courtesy this hour, once again, of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. You know, we've seen so many scenarios before, and I would urge you to take advantage of the experience and the knowledge of the Brain Trust. These are the advisors who can look over your individual goals. They can help you design a plan that will work for you, that will work with your goals in mind, and that's the key to all of it. You call any of the folks at Lucia Capital Group, any of the advisors, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number. Get a bucket strategy, one that's tailored to meet your specific needs. I can't emphasize this enough. It's important. That's why we do what we do on this show every day. The number again, at Lucia Capital Group. Talk to them about anything at all. 800-644-1150. Now, our number here in the studio, 877-PLANNER. We got all the lines open right now, so any money question that you have, great time to call us right now, 877-752-6637. I know folks have some questions on other stuff, and we're not going to spend the entire hour talking about it, but this is, we're going to hit the important points here, Professor Plum, on estate planning. And the biggest thing that I see, and maybe you see it too, as I said earlier, is that many people think, it's not that big a deal. You know, I mean, I've got a home and a few things.
Well, actually, it's interesting because my estate plan was much more complicated when I was younger. And I really didn't have that much in the way of assets. I didn't have a whole lot of equity in the house. I didn't have very much in the way of investment portfolio. Mm-hmm. I didn't have very much in the way of anything right. when I was younger. But my estate plan was significantly more complicated then than it is now. Why? I have assets now. I have a lot more going on from a dollar amount passing down to the next generation. Why is my estate plan simpler today? Because I don't have little kids. I don't have control issues for what the beneficiaries can do or not do with the money. When I was younger and I had young children, my only real major asset was life insurance. Now, it wasn't designed to provide for the kids necessarily, but it was designed to provide for my spouse, and if I had died, I needed to leave some money to provide for the family. And I didn't have a problem with the way she would manage it, but what happens if we went together?
Mm-hmm.
I had control issues over a 3-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 12-year-old. I mean, I didn't want them getting unfettered access to whatever was their share of the estate, what was left of it, when they turned 18 or even 21, potentially. I had a much more complicated estate plan back then. But now that they're all adults, all on their own, I trust the way they make decisions. I think that they will do fine. I have absolutely no control issues over what they would do with the money if my wife and I aren't here. And so I don't have those control issues. So even though there's a larger amount of nest egg passing from one generation to the next, the control isn't there. The control issues aren't there.
Yeah, so
they can have it outright.
Yeah, so the point of that is that even if you're young and think you don't have a whole lot, which is probably true, as was true in my case and yours at the time, you still have to understand that the control is important.
I did not, I mean, I go back to looking at myself when I was a young teen, or even a late teen for that matter. If I had somehow inherited a relatively large chunk of money, relatively large to your station in life at that point, what would I have done with it? And I'm pretty sure that I would not have made the most wise financial decisions. Would have had a heck of a lot of fun, but the money probably wouldn't have lasted a year or two.
No, you don't. You get a
assuming
huge
chunk, I lasted a year or two.
You get a huge chunk of money at 19, and I mean you in particular. that money would have been gone very likely by 20 or 21.
Fun.
And as you said, you might have even been gone. Who knows?
Oh, yes.
But we didn't fortunately have to find out about that. And there's no reason for somebody who's young, they can't handle money.
Well, it's very unusual. So think about it, especially if you have young children, you pass away way too soon. You're not there to raise them. So you're not there guiding them, teaching them, and helping them. So they have that isn't helping them right away. And realistically, even if you are there helping them, teaching them, at 18, how many kids make the best of decisions? So it's a matter of control in some respects. There's two sides to the estate transfer. Now, you had a definition of estate planning.
Well, I saw it as the effective transfer of assets at death, which, you know, goes along with your goals and how much control you want to have.
Right. The effective transfer of your assets to successive generations or to heirs. What does effective mean? Well, one thing, in my opinion, effective means no state interference, trying to lessen the impact of the costs of transferring from point A to point B, but also control issues. The effective transfer doesn't mean just to give it to them and let them blow it. It means give it to them, and if you're worried about them blowing it, giving it to them in a manner that they can actually learn to control it over time, mm-hmm. or have somebody else control it. That's effective transfer. So how do we go about creating an effective transfer of assets to the appropriate heirs? Well, that depends on what the assets are and who the heirs are. So what the assets are has a lot to do with it. Assets that have a beneficiary assignment, life insurance, annuities, retirement plans, that you can very effectively transfer that without cost from probate issues from you to the success, to the next heir by naming them directly. So from a cost standpoint, a beneficiary assignment is a very effective standpoint, but it doesn't give you any control. So what do you want to have happen? If it's purely to avoid probate, hey, a beneficiary does that. If it's to avoid probate and control it, now we've got to layer in a little bit something more complicated.
Yeah, there's something else in the middle that needs to happen. By the way, 877-PLANNER, if you've got questions on any of this, 877-PLANNER. That's true, and you can see it. It's obvious. You have a retirement plan, a 401k, and let's say you're a single parent, you don't have a spouse or anything, and it goes to a 22-year-old kid as the designated beneficiary. It'll pass right through easily, no problems at all, but you cannot control it once you're gone.
Right. Now, that child currently today under the law can stretch the distribution, can avoid significant taxation by stretching the distribution appropriately with their required minimum distributions.
Or,
but they don't have to stretch it.
And they probably won't in many cases.
Not that 21-year-old.
No, sir.
And So how do you go about controlling it from that standpoint? So we look at what the assets are. Now, we've talked about things with beneficiary assignments. We all know that you can put a beneficiary on life insurance, annuities, and retirement plans. But what about other assets? Well, most personal accounts, your bank accounts, your brokerage accounts, your investment accounts, you can do a beneficiary assignment on those through a transfer on death, TOD, or a payable on death, depending upon the state you live in. And that is effectively putting a beneficiary on that account. It'll automatically go to that person once after you've passed away. So there's no probate, no cost involved in that. It's an automatic transfer. No matter what your will says, it's still going to who the beneficiary is. Your will does not override a beneficiary assignment. The beneficiary assignment overrides the will. But it just passes right to that individual. But what about most people's largest investment or asset in their name? And that's their house. And so that's where we might need to do something more than just a beneficiary assignment. There's only a handful of states, two that I can think of off the top of my head, that allow for a beneficiary trust deed, where the home, that property, can actually have a beneficiary assignment on it. And so if your state is not one of those states...
Which two states are they?
Arizona and California come to mind. California's only been around since the beginning of this year. So you can create a potential transfer of an asset. Now, the problem with that is, if I've got in California, what if I have a $1 million home with a $600,000 mortgage on it?
What are they going to do?
And I transfer it to my, 22-year-old son, 25-year-old son. And they can't afford to renegotiate that mortgage. They're going to have to sell it anyway. But they're going to have to do it in a fairly quick time. But they're going to have to sell it anyway, no matter how it gets transferred, because they can't afford it.
Yeah, so avoiding probate, that's one of the things. We'll talk a little bit about that, trusts and how to set them up and all that. 877-PLANNER is our number. If you've got questions on anything at all, 877-PLANNER. More of your phone calls, emails, and estate planning when we come back.
It's one of the most common concerns for stock market investors.
Nobody knows when the next market collapse is going to happen.
Ray Lucia Jr. on the Risk Buffer Investment Strategy.
Really, the question is, how do we prepare for the next market downturn?
Many investors fear another severe market drop.
They remember 2008 like it's yesterday, and they're looking for ideas and concepts where they may be able to protect some of their portfolio. And that's where a risk buffer potentially comes in.
Spend 10 minutes watching a video that explains the risk buffer concept and where it may fit in your investment strategy. Now online at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com.
Within the strategy itself, there's lots of ways to customize it.
Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy in a free video. Go to riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group. Social Security rules that may affect your benefits are changing in 2016. Do you know how you'll be impacted?
My question has to do with Social Security and...
The Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 changed the way some couples will file for Social Security benefits.
Are we each allowed to take the spousal benefit on the other?
The rules that previously allowed a spouse to claim a partner's benefit while allowing their own benefit to grow have changed. If you were born after January 2, 1954, you may have questions about the laws affecting restricted claims on spousal benefits. Call the Social Security hotline, 800-838-0483. Find out if you'll be affected and if there's action you need to take. Call the free Social Security hotline, a resource for updates on changing rules and regulations. Call 800-838-0483, 800-838-0483. The Social Security Hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
Hey, Dad, ready for golf?
Hi, son. I'm not sure I'm going to make it today. My arthritis is acting up this morning.
Dad, have you tried Blue Emu?
Have I tried what?
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Works fast, penetrates deep, relieves pain in your achy muscles and joints.
But I don't want to smell like a medicine chest.
You won't. Blue Emu's non-greasy and odor-free.
In that case, let's play 36 today.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgranger.com/safety or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's
800-727-6723. 877-PLANNER, that's our number, PLANNER. You want to get on board, ask your money questions. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group here talking about your money, strategies, etc. And today we happen to be, or at least this hour, a segment or two, we're talking a little bit about estate planning and setting up an effective estate plan. It is important. You don't have to have $1 million, okay? First of all, Professor Plum, some people think it's only about the taxes, you know, because some people believe that if you die with money, that they've heard things like, well, 50% of my estate is going away toward taxes. Well, first of all, that ain't true.
Well, it depends on your estate. If you've got a $100 million IRA, then you're going to have a problem.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just say for
most people that don't have that kind of an issue, a lot of what you hear are scare tactics. You're going to lose 50, 60, 70, 80% to taxes. And if 100% of your estate is IRA type money and you're well over the $5 million, almost $500,000 per person limit that you've got, yeah, you're going to lose some to taxes, but you were going to lose some of that to taxes anyway, even if you lived. It's called income taxes, and the big majority of that's the income tax on the IRA. But from an estate tax point of view, unless you live in one of the states that imposes a state death tax or its own inheritance transfer tax, some of them are as low as $1 million limits. From a federal standpoint, it really does take a reasonable size estate or more before you have to pay any federal estate taxes. Just shy of $5.5 million for an individual before there's a federal estate tax. And even once you get over that, now it is a tax and it is a fairly large tax. It's 40% on the amount over that. That's the law today. They can always change things in the future, but that's the way it sits. It's not a sunset. Mm-hmm. It's not going to change until they actually do something, and until Congress gets together and does something for it.
So,
but that's the way it works.
Yeah, so it's not all about taxes, and it shouldn't be. We talked earlier in the hour about making this control. You need to have some control. You probably do want to have some control. Now, you had said this, Professor Plum. You have a beneficiary designation on some type of asset, whether it's a retirement plan or something, and you say, okay, I want this person to get it. It'll pass through easily. It's done. No probate, no problem. But if you want to maintain some control over that, you're not necessarily sure you want to give it to that person, or you have some conditions, et cetera. You need to have something in the middle to help you out with that.
Right. The control goes from several ways. It's not necessarily that you don't trust the individual, but maybe they're in a situation, a job that is very litigious. Maybe you're worried about them getting sued. So you may want to put something in place, not because you're worried about them blowing the money, but because they're in a career path that it's not a matter of if they get sued, it's a matter of when. And you want to try to control the assets so that they don't lose them in a lawsuit, or you just don't trust them and you know that they're going to blow it. They have their own issues, whether it be money issues, addiction issues, or whatever. You want to take care of them, but you also don't want them. You don't want to, basically add fuel to a fire that if they have a gambling addiction or something like that. But you want to be able to make sure that there's something for them for the rest of their life. You probably do not want to make them the outright beneficiary of your accounts, whether they be personal or IRA. And that's where things like trusts can come in. They're useful for control. Now, we used to use trusts a lot to reduce the estate taxes, but with the increasing estate tax limits, we don't see them used as much for that area. So mostly what we're seeing trusts used for now are control. You know, the assets are put into the trust, and the trustee, based on a written set of instructions from you before you passed away, has a guideline of how they should use the money for the beneficiary. Now, if you've named the beneficiary the same person as the trustee, you really haven't added any control to it. All you've done is put the beneficiary in charge of their own money.
It almost negates the trust.
It still passes without the probate and all that, but from a control issue, if you're going to have a control issue, you want to have somebody other than the beneficiary be the trustee. And in many cases, you don't necessarily want it to be, if it's a control issue where, you know, you've got somebody who's kind of off the deep end in certain areas, it's a little bit easier if you don't have a family member. Because that causes problems in the family. If you have a corporate trustee or something else that's where it's much easier for them to say no than a family member to say no, it tends to work a little bit better. Now, if it's just an issue where maybe one of the beneficiaries is special needs, where you want them to continue to be able to get government aid, but if they have money in their own name, they can't get government aid, that's a different issue from trustees. You can name a sibling as a trustee or an aunt, uncle, or whatever the case may be as a trustee. So because you're not worried about that person trying to manipulate the ultimate beneficiary, trying to manipulate the trustee. So we have to look at what is it that we're trying to accomplish? What are we trying to protect against? What are we trying to control? And what are we trying to achieve with the transfer of assets from one generation or one person to another person? Where are we looking at it? And so all of that comes into play in creating an effective estate transfer technique, or estate transfer plan, an estate plan.
Yeah, 877-PLANNER is our number, PLANNER. If you have questions on this or anything else, 877-PLANNER. Who really should consider a trust? I mean, if the main reason, you said, of course, because, you know, estate tax limits have gone up. We now have portability, right, where one spouse can, in essence, inherit somebody else's estate tax.
If you have assets, if you have assets that you want to avoid probate, and or you have assets that you want to control from the grave, basically, then in many cases a trust is a recommended issue, because that can help with both of those areas. That can help avoid probate, and it can help provide control. And so those are the two main reasons. There's other smaller peripheral reasons to have trusts. And we're talking, now the question is, living trust, inter vivos trust, an ongoing trust that you can change at any time during your lifetime, or an irrevocable trust, and a trust that's set up, it's its own entity, it's its own identity, and once it's in place, you can't change it anymore. So there's two different types of trusts, and they're both useful at different times. And so we want to look at what it is we're trying to accomplish. And unfortunately, just like everything else in financial planning, there is no one size fits all. Everything should do it this way. Everybody should do it that way. There are lots of different ways to create trusts, even living trusts. You know, whether you do the what they call the simple I love you trust, which says, I give everything to my surviving spouse, and then I'll let her or him deal with how it goes after when they pass away. Or, you know what? I love my spouse, but I've got assets. I want to make sure that my spouse doesn't get remarried and give all the assets to somebody else or take it away from the kids, so I want to split it up into what's known as an AB trust. Or maybe my estate's large enough that you go to an ABC or an ABQ. There's all these different acronyms that you can deal with. But the first thing to decide is, what do you want to have happen to your estate? Which assets do you want to go where? Do you care about control? And the biggest issue is probate. For most states, avoiding probate is an issue. Not all states have a bad probate, though.
No, but what happens if you die without any kind of beneficiary designations? By law, in each state, the state is going to go through the process of probate and try to determine where this stuff should go.
Well, even if you have a will, you will go through probate.
Yeah.
So probate is the legal transfer of one asset to another individual. A will just gives guidance to the probate courts. But how do I go down and say, Dad died and he wanted his car to come to me? He can't sign the pink slip over. I can't sign on his behalf. He's passed away. How do I get that title into my name.
Yep, and it gets expensive, too. All right, there'll be a couple of scenarios we're going to present when we come back, and then we will move on. 877-PLANNER, if you've got questions on this or anything else, lines are open now. Give the Brain Trust a call. We will talk to you. Answer your money questions when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing.
Lucia Capital Group Advisors travel the country talking to individuals about retirement at open seminars, but they can also schedule a private seminar at your company and customize a retirement planning presentation for your employees.
I'm Rick Plum, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Terry Keyes, Chartered Financial Consultant.
We'll teach you a strategy to integrate Social Security benefits with your other investments.
We'll talk about lifetime income strategies and what alternatives to stocks and bonds may fit into your retirement plan.
We'll tell you what you should know about managed portfolios, and we'll discuss your concerns about outliving your money, stock market volatility, and managing your taxes.
Business owners and HR managers can now schedule private retirement planning meetings for organizations of 50 or more. Call Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150 to schedule. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Every investor has their own unique financial fingerprint, each with their own unique concerns.
Concern that I have is that I'm not going to have enough money for retirement.
At Lucia Capital Group, we hear your biggest concerns.
Taxes in retirement. Taxes are already biting us pretty good.
Retirement in today's economy can be overwhelming.
Most of my 401k is in a high-risk investment. I'm concerned about that.
If you're worried about outliving your money, the unpredictability of the stock market, or risks associated with inflation, call Lucia Capital Group for a complimentary plan review. Learn how the bucket strategy is designed to provide opportunities for diversification and investment options in a low interest rate environment. Schedule a consultation at no cost by calling 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com, luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
QL1, this is Control. Ground crew is secure. Over.
Copy that, Control. Rocket's powering up. Over.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
Negative, Control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly and seamlessly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage approval process in minutes.
Copy that, QL1. That is fast, like rocket fast. Do you think that's why they named it Rocket Mortgage? Over.
Affirmative, Control. That's probably why they named it Rocket Mortgage. It also works on any internet-ready device, so you can get a Rocket Mortgage at any time or place you choose.
Roger that, QL1. So technically speaking, you could get a Rocket Mortgage at rocket speed from inside an actual rocket?
Please just press the button, Control. Over.
Copy that, QL1.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button, get mortgage.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 33.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. We're moving offices and it's a giant pain in the...
Bubble roll?
What?
Well, Staples has bubble roll, packing tape, all kinds of boxes, everything you need to move and all at low prices.
Great. That's a giant load off my...
Packing peanuts?
No.
Shrink wrap?
No, but now moving will be a walk in the...
Packing tape?
Sure.
Get low prices on everything you need to move at Staples. And right now, a 3-pack of Smooth Move medium boxes is $12. Staples, make more happen. Offer ends 6/25/16.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, Call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Market strategy investing, taking your phone calls. We do have some emails to get to as well. Phone calls, easy to do. You just pick up your phone, you give us a call, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. As for your emails, you go to wealthed.com. We will get to some of those emails in just a little bit, wealthed.com at the Find Your Answer link. Now, we're going to take a couple of calls right now, but coming up at least sometime before the top of the hour, we've been talking, Professor Plum, about controlling your estate. There are a couple of scenarios. One that I had thought of that you had mentioned before the break, and another that an emailer had asked us about a little bit earlier in the show, and I want to get to both of those coming up. One has to do with the situation that I was bringing up, has to do with a spouse who is a widow with kids, marries somebody else, that new person comes in, and the new spouse has kids of their own. You're not particularly fond of those new kids, but you do like the new spouse. You want your stuff to go to your kids if something should happen to you.
Well, it does happen when after one of the parents passes away, especially at earlier ages, and the surviving spouse gets remarried.
Yes.
And in many cases, the kids of the first marriage don't necessarily care for, especially if they're younger adults or even adults, they may not care for the new spouse.
No, they may not.
And it causes a rift.
It does.
And then mom decides, well, they're not taking care of me. They don't like me anymore. I'm just going to change the estate. I'm going to leave it all to my new spouse.
And then the kids from the other marriage are the ones that get aced out. So we will present that problem, though I kind of did right now, and we'll talk to you about how to solve that. The other one has to do with the estate being the beneficiary of an IRA. So we'll get to all this stuff. 877-PLANNER. Wanted to take some calls. We got some folks on hold. 877-PLANNER. Any question you have at all. Let's move next to Dave down in Phoenix, Arizona. Hello, Dave.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Excellent. I had a question in regard to estate planning in general, I suppose, but it's specifically on a life insurance policy I have that's maturing in a couple of months.
When you say maturing, what do you mean by maturing?
Well, that is the incorrect term. I apologize. What it is it's level premium. Adjustable life, had a 20-year term.
Oh, is it 20 pay?
I don't understand what that...
There was 20 years of payments, and then there were no more required payments after that?
No, it was 20 years of payments, and then it just stops.
Oh, so it's a term policy.
Yeah, it's a 20-year level term.
Okay.
Okay. 20-year level term, that's correct.
Okay.
We're coming up on the 20-year anniversary. I'm 71 years old. One of the options the insurance company offered is to continue the policy at a revised premium, and it's about 10 times the present.
Yeah, a significantly revised premium.
Only yeah, 10 exactly. times, huh?
Yeah. That coupled with the fact that at my present situation, I really don't need life insurance.
Okay.
I was about to reject this out of hand and just, you know, file it away as coverage that I no longer require. And then I got to looking at the numbers. And I must be missing something, but this looks like a pretty darn good investment to me.
It might be, Matt. Remember, they're revising the premium for next year by about 10 times, right?
That's correct.
And then the next year it'll go up again.
I don't believe so. The proposal came back to me that the present premium of $1,661 will become $18,862.
Right.
And will remain at that level of annual premium until I reach age 89, I believe it is.
Well, if that's the case, that's a much better deal, because most policies like that turn into an annual renewable term policy at the end of their initial guarantee period.
Precisely.
And every year they become much, much more expensive.
Precisely.
So you've got 18,000 in what in premiums potentially?
18,862 per year.
And what's the death benefit?
$500,000.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it looks like an incredibly attractive investment to me.
Yeah, so you're 71. If you make it 20, well, till 89, it said?
Yeah, well, 20 years, yes. Yeah, and 89 is what they cut it off at. I have no idea why.
Well, that looks like about a 7-plus percent rate of return as long as you die at 91. It's a much higher rate of return.
I frankly don't feel I have longevity on my side here. I think 10-year window, the way I'm looking at it is if I last another 10 years, I'll be out of pocket about $190,000 in these whopping premiums.
Yes.
And my heirs will realize $500,000 tax-free benefit.
That is true. Now, I do want to confirm, I really want you to confirm that it is level after this.
That's my understanding, and they're supposed to get back to me in writing.
Yes. Yeah, if you can get it in writing.
Yes.
Now, and you're looking at, unfortunately, we do look at it this way, it is an investment decision.
Yes.
It's kind of morbid to think of it like that, but if you're fairly certain that the outcome will be you don't make it to age 91, then this is one, and this is a level premium.
Right.
This is one heck of a deal.
That's
why I don't believe it is what it is. Insurance companies are not stupid.
Everything's been verbal at this point, but it's a very large and reputable insurance company I'm dealing with. So I'm waiting for their written proposal, and if it's I understand
guaranteed,
it, I'm inclined to jump on it.
Right. If it's guaranteed, and heaven forbid you die at 81, you know, 10 years from now, that's like a 20% investment return, and as you mentioned, the death benefit is tax-free.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a tough way to get the death benefit, I mean, to get the investment result, but it's something that's going to happen to us. Now, you have a worst and a best case scenario, and they're the same thing. The worst and the best case scenario is that you lived to 93.
Right.
It's the worst case scenario from an investment standpoint, but hey, you lived until 93. That's not a bad deal.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm not missing something.
Check to make sure that it's level. I have not seen very many of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
I certainly will, and I appreciate all your comments.
Yeah, Dave, let us know, too, if you find out for sure you get it in writing. I'd love to see that. But thank you, Dave, for the call. And it's a good eye on Dave's part to look at that and say, wait a minute. Yes, the premium is increasing by 10 times, actually more than 10 times in this particular case. And yet, this would be a case of, let's keep it anyway, because I'm 71.
As an investment, if you can continue to afford that premium, and you're sure or fairly certain that the outcome will be you do not live past the term. And that's why I do have a little bit of a hard time believing that it's going to be a level premium, because that deal puts the benefit, it's in the eyes of the insured to control whether they want to do it or not, where most of the time the insurance company doesn't want to give you that kind of control. Now, they want to maintain the control, so it's adverse selection against the insurance company if they levelize it for another 20 years. Now, there may be a way, and the other side of it is, this was a 20-year level term policy to begin with. He bought it at 51 years of age. This particular insurance company has not seen any of his medical history in the last 20 years. They have no idea how healthy or unhealthy he is. And so typically, when they're doing this in their pricing and creating the policy 20 years ago, they're going to basically make it so that they don't pay the premium. They're going to try to make it almost impossible for you to make the premium, because they know that the only people that are going to select it are people that are going to try to use it to their advantage.
Exactly. Now, for those that don't know what we're talking about, Professor Plum, what happens normally? You have a level term policy, meaning that you're paying the same premium all the way through, call it 20 years in this case. Once that premium, guarantee period ends, they will renew it if you want. But as we just saw, and we've said before, in Dave's case, they won't renew it at the
$1,600
a year. In this case, they will renew it for a year at 18,000 in this case. Right. Now, what Dave was saying was that they would be happy to continue that same 18,000 per year premium till he's 89 or whatever he said.
Until 89, 91, until 91. I'm just not buying it because that's way too good of a deal. I mean, any 71-year-old that could buy that a death benefit with that kind of a return potential would be crazy not to buy it, even if they could show insurability. And he's not even showing insurability. And so I would love for him to call me back.
$18,000 a year for 10 years. He lives till 81. He's put in 180.
And his heirs get $500,000.
And he gets $500,000 back. Now, here's the thing about that, too. Once you start that, you better keep it. You better keep that, because if you decide after 3 or 4 years that even $18,000 isn't enough, you've made a big mistake. So you're making another 20-year decision, unlike what you would do for a regular insurance policy, where, you know, after 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 years of 20 years, you decide you don't want it anymore. Well, you at least were insured. All right. John in Hayward, California, hold on. We're going to give you plenty of time to ask your question. When we come back, don't go away. Just a couple of minutes here. 877-PLANNER. We still have two lines open. Get on board now. Talk to the Brain Trust about your situation. We'll answer your questions when we come back.
Some people willingly take on risk, like skydivers. They may find risk exhilarating. Most of us would rather avoid risk. When it comes to investing strategies, many investors want to keep their feet on the ground and reduce their exposure to risk. A risk buffer strategy through the purchase of an annuity contract is designed for investors who want the potential for growth when the markets are positive, potentially with some protection from losses when they're not. If you're concerned about stock market volatility and the threat of another market collapse, learn where a risk buffer strategy may fit in your investment mix. You may be able to cover losses to a certain extent when markets decline, but potentially enjoy a reasonable amount of growth when markets rise. Watch an informative short video to learn exactly how a risk buffer strategy works at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. A December 2015 Gallup poll found that nearly three-quarters of those surveyed expected this year to start with stock market volatility. Their concerns were valid. According to CNN and other sources, this January was the worst month in the stock market since 2009. But even though we may have anticipated stock market declines, are we prepared for them? Are we prepared if we should see another market meltdown like 2008? Lucia Capital Group invites you to discuss your retirement strategy and review your exposure to potential portfolio losses if stocks stumble. What alternatives to stocks and bonds might you consider adding to your investment mix? Schedule an appointment with your local Lucia Capital Group advisor now. The consultation and review of your current financial plan is free. Call 800-644-1150 to schedule an appointment. That's 800-644-1150. And learn more at wealthed.com. Wealthed.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC, and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Focus. You need it to run a business, so don't let legal questions distract you. Use LegalZoom instead. Things like lease agreements and employment laws get complicated, but they're part of running a business. That's why LegalZoom built a network of independent attorneys in 48 states. You can rely on them for the legal details without paying by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. So focus on growing your business and use LegalZoom for the legal stuff. LegalZoom. Legal help is here.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can tell you that Geico could save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not go straight to the source?
Hey, Harry's Money here. And the day Harry went to Geico.com and switched his car insurance was the day I got to hang around. Finally, boys bonding, bada bing, bada boom. No wonder Geico has 97% customer satisfaction. Personally, I give him 100, but that's just my 2 cents. That was funny.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Market strategy investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. There's another hour just ahead after this one, of course. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We've got a little bit of room on the phones. Going to take everybody's call, 877-752-6637. As promised, let's move next to John in Hayward, California. Hello, John.
Thank you very much, John. And I have a question for the professor here. Quick question is, I've got most of my money in IRAs. I would like, and it's in different investments, would like to pass a portion of it to one of my sons who's got a severe addiction. Mm-hmm. What could I put in the trust that would control it so that he doesn't take everything and blow it up? You know?
Well, you can name the trust as the beneficiary, so you would want to coordinate this. You'd probably want an attorney to help you coordinate what's going on. You may not want all of the IRA, since the majority of your estate is IRA money. And you have more than this one child, right?
Yes, correct.
And you probably want to share the IRA with the siblings as well, but you only want to control it for this one specific individual. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So you're going to want to coordinate how to set the beneficiaries. But this is where a trust, at least for the portion of it that goes to the one son that you want to control the assets for, the trust can be the beneficiary. It does have to make sure that there's certain things involved with the trust, but it's not outrageously difficult. It's done quite often. And the trust becomes the beneficiary. The trust can then look through to the beneficiary's age to set the required minimum distributions. So the trust can take the required minimum distribution. Now the trust has the money. How it spends the money is dependent upon how the trustee is, you know, told to handle the money for that particular issue. That particular heir? Does it just pass the income every year on to them? Does it hold it back unless they're in better shape? You know, and so it has to do with a little bit of taxation, but you've got a trustee, somebody other than this one particular beneficiary, controlling whether or not the money that's taken out of the IRA is passed on to that beneficiary. If it is passed on to the beneficiary pays the income taxes. If it's passed on to the beneficiary in the same year that the distribution from the IRA was made. If the distribution for a required minimum distribution standpoint is taken into the trust but not handed out to the heir, then that is an income taxable event to the trust, and you know, you'll pay a little bit more, or the trust will pay a little more in taxes than it would than the son would pay, but that is better than maybe letting the son, unfortunately, gives you the control that you're looking for. So you're going to want to talk with an attorney, coordinate beneficiaries, and this is where a trust comes in play, because control is an issue.
Yeah, and could we include this like in an inherited IRA also?
This would become an inherited IRA with the trustee as the control factor the son is still the inheriting event. So yeah. We look at the son's age for the required minimum distribution in most cases, but the son is not in control of when he can and cannot take money out of the trust. So yeah. The money's got to go through the trust to him. There's a gatekeeper at the trust level to determine whether or not it actually passes the trust to the individual, but we still get to stretch it out, at least under current rules, we still get to stretch it out over that individual's life expectancy.
Gotcha. That could include, like, addiction courses to be taken or
sure.
something.
Whatever
you
want.
You can write it as crazy as you want, but I think that makes – that's not crazy. That's a very good idea that yeah. The trustee basically incentivizes the son mm-hmm. to help himself by paying for the treatment centers and things of that nature.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, John, thank you for the question, for the call. Good luck to you. That's exactly what – we didn't really get into that yet, but that's exactly one of the reasons we were saying to set up a trust. We talked about control earlier in the hour. This gives you the control where the other siblings, however many there were, they're okay with that. They can pass their section on to them. But you want control, you put the trust in place.
And he's going to do a little bit different, though, because he's going to have probably a separate trust set off to the side. When he dies, his main trust will maybe break into two pieces. One that is the assets that are going to go to the other kids, non-IRA assets. And then one that is basically the recipient of the IRA. Mm-hmm. And so because it doesn't sound like he has control issues over the other beneficiaries,
no.
He doesn't want to handcuff them at the same time. And if he just names the trust as 100% beneficiary, then he's going to have to do some coordination, and that's where an attorney really comes in play.
Yes, but it can be set up that way, and it should be set up that way in his particular situation. Okay, we've got time. Let's move along next to Jim in Alexandria, Virginia. Hello, Jim.
Hi, gentlemen. Rick, I have a question for you. I don't know if this is your type of question, but you seem to know something about everything, so I'm going to try it.
All right.
I'm part of a partnership that's set up in New Jersey, and we have a quarrying operation in the state of Maine. And I wondered if it's better to use a Maine accountant. I guess we have to do a K-1 and file a return in the state of Maine. But is it better to use a Maine accountant, or can we use someone locally in New Jersey, say?
I would say that there's probably some good accountants in New Jersey that understand not only New Jersey state income tax laws, but other states as well. And you can probably find somebody who can do it, do the tax return for the other state right where you're at. But I would want to make sure that you have somebody and you talk to them and say, are you comfortable maintaining these, because you're going to have to file out-of-state returns. Most accountants, I think, can handle that, but talk to them about it, and you should be able to get it done nearby. But if you can't, then you'd have to go to Maine.
Okay.
But I think you can probably get it done.
It may be that, say, quarrying or mining requires a special set of skills or not because of the depletion schedules, but I guess...
Right, but I mean, there's people that, New Jersey probably has some of those companies too, so it's got similar attributes in both states. You just have mm-hmm. to file the different return in the other state for the portion of the income that's being generated in that other state.
Okay.
I think you probably can get it done with a good, competent New Jersey tax preparer.
Okay, that sounds logical.
Yeah, who has seen that in New Jersey, it can't be that much different in Maine, I would assume.
There's probably different.
Okay, very good.
There's probably different environmental
laws
and things like that, but that's not the accountant.
Does that help you out, Jim?
Thanks a lot. Yeah, that helps some. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah,
well,
unfortunately, I don't have a name to give you to help you a lot, but.
Well, okay. Well, it helps some. That's okay.
Some. And it is not an area of my expertise, doing multiple state tax returns.
No. Well, he had built you up. You know?
I know.
He said you've got the answer to everything.
And then I helped him some.
Well, some. Say, some is better than... I'll tell you what we're going to do here. All right? We've got to take a break for the end of the hour, but we're going to come back. I'm going to give Professor Plum a little, some self-help books here that he can read on pumping up the self-esteem.
Motivational speaking.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I'll tell you what, he is going to be fine by the time we come back in the new hour. How's that?
No more crying in my beer.
If you need the brain trust off the air, talk to Professor Plum. Tell him what a great guy he is.
That's okay.
You can reach him at Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150. The off-air number, 800-644-1150. Talk to him about anything at all. He'll answer the questions for you. Another hour just ahead. Stick around for more Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.